This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
There it is, Friday, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. We want you to talk education with us. Well, mostly, though, debate. Yeah, we'll do a little bit of talking first before we get into that. But just so anybody, if you're ready, you want to call in, yes, tonight is going to be about the debate.
Absolutely. Give us a call because we're going to chop it up and talk about it. But Tim, come on, man. What day is it, my guy?
It's TGIBPF, man. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday.
That's what I'm looking for because I look forward to it every day on Busted Pencils. And you can listen to us here on Civic Media, or if you're downloading the podcast, you can get that at the Civic Media website or wherever you get your podcasts. Tim, I always look forward to our chopping it up, talking about the week. And man, I'm with you. It would be bonkers to not be talking about what was bonkers last night. But before we even get into that, hopefully, if you're local to Madison, or maybe you are up north and you know the great state of Wisconsin, then you got to maybe kick it today or even yesterday during the debates. Mm. You got to throw back some brews. At Minocqua Brewing Company, big-time advocates for public education and strong advocates for democracy, backing the Democrats. But I'd love to hear what Kirk at Minocqua Brewing Company and the Minocqua Brewing Company, you know, crew are all thinking about today, too. But anyways, they're the most sued brewery in America. Why? Because they stand up for democracy. Because they back the Democrats. They're ride or die over there. Love them. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check them out at MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Mm. Tim, a couple of progressives. I mean, I don't know if I like that label too much, but I like it better than liberal.
I like it better than liberal for sure. Progressive, whatever it is, you know, it's... Man, but yeah, I tell you what, last night though, wow. Yeah, the debate, you know, public education. Okay, Johnny, we had two bets though going into the debate.
We had two bets.
And I think you're being a little lenient on giving me a little bit on one.
I mean, yeah. So one of them was because we had a great guest on this week, Alan from Student Loan Forgiveness. And, you know, Alan's also running for president. So we have a presidential debate. Why not have our boy Alan on?
Exactly.
But regardless, we had some great discussion around student loan forgiveness and the bump in the road that the Biden administration hit this week, right, with Steadfast, a lot of forgiveness that they were really working out. So that hit a bump in the road and we were talking about it because I was bummed. Because I got the letter and like the email says, stand by, you know, you've been in line for this, for some forgiveness and you're more than eligible, but hang on because hang there on. Actually is a bump in the road and there might not be any more forgiveness. So I was bummed. We talked about it related to it because we said, hey, there's a presidential debate this week. We're looking forward to what happens. It's kind of like saying, looking forward to see a car crash, but you know, we talked about it and we had made a bet. Over under, I went with the under. There would be no discussion of student loan. He's like, come on, I think that they're going to talk about it. And lo and behold, tiny mention from Uncle Joe.
Sliver.
Oh, God, a tiny, tiny sliver.
Yeah.
And
then the other one, though, too, is I said there is no way that this debate will not have a very specific education
like you were talking
topic. Oh. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like there's got to be, you know, the moderators are going to hit them with an education question because there's been so much going on, particularly around education, particularly Trump and the, you know, the 2025 agenda doing away with the Department of Education. I thought that would have been a really rich question to ask. Johnny, you said, no, they're not even going to touch it. Oh, man. What do I owe you now, dude?
No, I mean, I think we're even. I mean,
okay.
I think
you're giving me, a little on the student loan. So,
hey, I'm a kind bookie. If I'm the arranger of this political betting ring that we've created here at Busted Pencils, place your bets here, right? Text them in to Civic Media, right? The books are open, but the under was that they wouldn't talk about student loans. And lo and behold, Uncle Joe brought it up kind of coherently in connection with inflation and the economy, which he's not far off on. That's why I'm going to give it to you, because if we're going to piece together, you know, his contributions, which sadly is what we have to do, but to piece together a real slow start and a kind of like, okay, I get what you're saying. Wasn't very spirited, and it wasn't very encouraging in terms of like, hey, we got a Democrat here who's a strong advocate for democracy. I believe he has that in him, but I don't know, man. I don't know.
I believe he might have had that in him.
Maybe that's the way to put it. But I mean, I'm not saying anything like he doesn't know what he's doing or he's not coherent. It's just the oomph and the enthusiasm that I would have hoped a candidate would have to go up against somebody like he who shall remain nameless, as often as I cannot say that dude's name.
TFG, right? Man.
Yeah. I would have hoped for, like, you know, Uncle Joe, like 15 years ago, maybe even 10, 8 years ago, you know, Uncle Joe from the cookout, the guy who is like, let me tell you, we got this. Like, give me in there.
Scrapper from Scranton.
Right. But, you know, he did bring it up in connection. And I believe this is true because we've talked about it with Alan, and you and I have talked about it on here. The economy is rough for most people right now, unless you're like a multimillionaire billionaire, or you know, a multinational corporation.
Multinational.
You're feeling the squeeze, right? It's not strong economic times, and so you know, Joe's talking about that, and then in connection, he did bring up student loan because, as Alan reminded us, 85 million some folks cannot pay.
There's
loans currently. That's not how many are in debt from student loans. That's just how many people are currently, you know, underwater.
Right.
And some of the reasons why. You can go back and grab that podcast from earlier this week, or any of the ones where we have Alan on and we talk about, let's get down into the nuts and bolts of student loan forgiveness and specifically student loan debt. So he brought it up. So I'll give you that because I think the intention is there, and intentions are a starting point. I would hope for more, but intentions are a starting point. And then my big victory, they didn't bring up anything K-12, but I told you with absolute certainty to bet on the under on that. You took the over because you were optimistic, and I love that optimism. But, you know, sadly, for Republicans or Democrats, education is never really a big issue that swings or determines an election. And that's part of what grinds your gears, Tim, and mine, and why we have this show and why we hammer away at it, is because it ought to be.
It ought to be the number one driver. The number one driver. But Johnny, let's just say, Sherry from Horicon, got to say, she's like, hey, guys, I'm riding with Biden. He has been doing a great job. Okay, Sherry, you might be a little upset with me by the end of today's show, but, well, you know, maybe. And then LA Tom, he did say something about student loan forgiveness, that they saved so much money on the debt. I don't really remember the comment that much that Biden made around the student loans, Johnny. Good. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can pull it up. We got it on cue because he did say it briefly. You want to play it for us? Just play it for the listeners and us. Yeah.
All those black families and those black individuals who had to take out student loans that were ballooning. That if they were engaged in nursing, doctor, and anything having to do with volunteerism, if they paid their bills for 10 years on their student debt, all the rest is forgiven after 10 years. Millions have benefited from that. And we're going to do a whole lot more.
Okay. So, you
know, that's what I'm getting.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I must somewhere in the just shut down and stop listening because I was like, oh man, I hear that all the time. Sherry's like, never Republican. Sherry, and I definitely am with you. I'm not going in that direction for sure. Donald Trump from LA Tom has lied over 30 times. Oh. And no one could push back because they muted the microphone. But even that, LA Tom, and I know you're listening. Nobody's surprised by that. Like, that wasn't something that people went, oh my God, can you believe Trump lied? It's like, no, that was what he was going to do when he was coming in. You know, so it's not a shocker that Trump was Trump. I mean, nobody should be like, can you believe that he lied? Yes, yeah. I can believe that he lied. That's what he does. He does it all the time. So I'm not shocked.
Yeah, Tim, and overall, you know, just a low moment for American politics.
I can say,
we shouldn't be here. We are, and I'm not going to lament it, right? And I agree with Sherry in LA, like LA Tom, right? We're in it, so we got to be figuring out how to strengthen this democracy. And if that's Joe Biden, then let's get Joe Biden working to strengthen this democracy. Personally, I mean, I don't have any problem with Joe Biden. I actually also don't mind that he sounds like one of my great uncles, right? Like, I don't mind it. I was like, can somebody just pass that man a hard candy? Like, his voice, like, just get, you know, like, have him ready. Like, who's
that man?
Who's
a Ricola?
Yeah, Ricola.
I'm not nearly as veteran as Joe Biden. And I know for class, I need to have some hard candies in my pocket. I mean, that's old man knowledge. I'm not that old yet, but I got to have some hard candies ready to go. Right. And I know that it's not the best on the mic because, you know, clanks around in my teeth, but we're familiar with that. Right. Yeah. We're familiar with Uncle Joe, with Joe, the man of the people. And, you know, I saw a presidential candidate held to a kind of standard that didn't feel like it fit him to me. It didn't feel like it fit him. And that's all to say, like, man, I can't even, he who shall remain nameless, I cannot even fathom for a moment. And in fact, I put a lot of energy and compassion and empathy into lots of chats I'm in, lots of discussion boards, lots of spaces where I'm talking to people who are really excited about Donald Trump running for president. And I have to say to them, like, how? And one of those points, Tim, one of those points is absolutely it. How could we have a leader we can't trust? And then I have to ask them, do you trust people who lie to you? And they say no. So I'm trying to figure out with compassion and empathy where the Donald Trump supporter logic is in having a leader you can't trust. And that means, do you trust people who repeatedly lie to you? And this is a big sticking point for me, regardless of the other 15 reasons at the top of my head, this is an awful candidate. I can't get myself to trust someone who lies. Tim Moore, when we come back, listeners, give us a call. Busted Pencils.
I wish I could play the drums like that. Man, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education and talking presidential debates last night. Yeah, TFG, as they call him, and Uncle Joe last night trying to have a conversation that it was supposed to inspire us about the future of democracy. I was saying during the break, and Jess went even a little bit further, but Johnny, 10 minutes in, and, you know, I was texting you, you know it, and, like, my heart sank truly into my, down to the bottoms of my feet, and I just went, this is over, and I don't mean the debate. I meant that I absolutely went, this is over. People see this tonight, and anybody who was on the fence, and I'm saying this on the fence, all of the rabid Trump voters, they're doing what they're going to do. Okay. So doesn't matter, you know, even if Biden would have came in 30 years younger and old and that fighting Joe, it wouldn't have mattered. Doesn't matter. Okay. So, you know, because that's not going to change. The ability for Biden to inspire some people who might be on the fence with Trump, he needed to do that last night for me. He needed to be able to pull some of those people who are going, I'm not sure, I don't know what to do, which is kind of a weird thing to admit that people are out there going, I don't know what to do, because it's like, really? But I just saw that and saw those voters just going, they're not going to vote for TFG, but they're not going to vote. And then to me, so I then catastrophize this. I say, you know, dealing with the anxiety issues that I have my whole life, I automatically took what felt like a punch in the gut and then turned it into a diagnosis of doom and was like, this is the end of public education, man. And I'm watching it right in front of me, Johnny Lupinacci. And so I started getting really sad because to me, you know, people are like, dude, you're weird. You have that much sense or something, passion about school, not school, about public education. First of all, public education, man, when I see the end of public education, people, you know where I'm coming from. I see public education as the foundation of democracy. And so it's not just about Friday night football not going to be around. That's be a problem. But it's about public education because that's the end of democracy. And if Uncle Joe was going to be the advocate for democracy, man, he just didn't do it at all. And I got really, really sad last night.
Well, Tim, I mean, I've told you, I'm not going to say told you.
I know, so, I know. Told you.
And one of the hopefuls for me is why with such confidence said there will be nothing spoken about education in this debate. Because one of the things we know is that education sadly has not been a major factor. Like policy about education has not been a big factor for determining presidential elections. One of those reasons is because, and I'm come back to it to maybe have some sunshine through the gloom for you. Education is a state right by and large. The U.S. Department of Education plays a role, and it's played with different administrations a larger role than others, but it's played a role in state decisions about education. And there are some really scary things to think about in terms of where Trump is situated in his policy speaking to, you know, basically getting rid of the U.S. Department of Education. Mm-hmm. It's not really, to me, when I read Trump's plans for education, it's not really him. It's the Heritage Foundation,
right?
Their interest in really private charters everywhere, free market for education, enterprise industry kind of thing. Let's back up. Education is a state right, and this is why I'm like, again, a harsh reminder last night that for those of us very concerned about education, this is a divided moment across our union of states. But it's so important that in our states, and we need to support other states too, but in our states, that we advocate fiercely, we advocate strongly, we make sure that candidates speak truth to power when it comes to supporting public education. Now, sad notes for either administration, more so with the Republican agenda for public ed, right, is that we're going to likely, in worst case scenario, lose a lot of the teeth to civil rights being important in our public schools as they're underwritten right now at the federal level, right? In Title I money that's really important to schools that comes from the U.S. Department of Education. Those things are ever important to states, right? But to me, one of the really big things is I knew that they weren't going to discuss education. I really did. And I'd be frustrated with that. We've been talking about that since the earliest presidential election I can remember. But right. What I did hear is really scary stuff on other things that are really important to the kind of democratic citizenship good public schools teach in support of.
Right.
Right. I saw a blatant disregard for peace in this world. I saw a blatant disregard for civil rights, for, you know, for equality, for addressing all kinds of ways that we as a country can be stronger and better. I saw flippant disregard from that, from the former 45th president of the United States. And that to me already was like, there's no way I can be won over by, you know, the support of this individual. I just can't see myself going there in any instance. However, I did hope for more things from this debate that didn't deliver. And there were some big takeaways for me coming out of it. So there were some big takeaways. But Tim, I'm there. I'm with you. I'm saying, well, remember, listener and Tim, that state education is a state right. And I hate to say that because I'm not saying so. Forget about Oklahoma. Forget about Texas. Forget it. Because we have strong allyship with all public schools everywhere. But
I get it. I get it, though. But I know it's a state right and things. But the whole idea, too, then you're starting to really, you know, rely. And it really is. Again, it is. There is no federal in the U.S. Constitution, no mention whatsoever of education. Go to the state constitutions and every state constitution has public education in there. So you're right. I get that. It's just the whole idea, the signaling. And I said, I don't think that Trump, you know, gained any Biden supporters and brought them over or anything like that. It's just that the non-participating people who might come out to vote, if they were looking for a reason to be inspired to vote last night, and I would say people going like Trump's lying wasn't enough to inspire you to get out there and vote against him. I think so. But for other people, man, the mumbling Joe, not fighting Joe, but the mumbling Joe, this, you know, kind of like, whoa, where are you going with that conversation, Joe? Joe, I think you just answered three different questions at the same time. I'm not sure that's the way it works. It was rough. And so TFG, you know, I don't think he won anybody over. I'm concerned that Uncle Joe might have lost some people that matter. And then those people that matter, and if Joe loses and TFG wins, uh-oh. I don't know. We'll talk more about it, though. Give us a call, 855-752-4842. Somebody call and tell me to calm down, Tim. And here's, help me out, everybody. Help me out. Busted Pencils when we get back. Ah, that's for sure. The American attraction, Busted Pencils, they go together. Yeah. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Oh, this time tonight, Friday, TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. But we got to talk about the debate. 855-752-4842 is the number if you want to call. Johnny, you know, what happens with these debates, and I guess at this point now, if your listener knows that Tim was sad and you know, tears and all those things, and probably over-dramatizing the pain that I felt, but, you know, that's what I do. I catastrophize everything because that way, when it actually turns out to be not so bad, I feel better. So understand that there's a very dysfunctional way of dealing with my anxiety, and I've learned it at this point now, and I do the catastrophe. But you know, it always comes up though after the end of a debate, you know, well, who won? And I, you know what, nobody won. But I can tell you this, Johnny Lupinacci, I tell you who lost: the American people. The American people, we lost last night from both of them, Johnny, both of them, big losers, the American people. That's where I'm putting this, Johnny.
Well, it's a letdown to the great American people. I will say they're not losers. They're winners out there. You know, who constitute this democracy. They lost because they deserve more. And that's like whether you're a Republican or you're a Democrat. Or you're another party, which those other parties don't even seem to exist at the presidential level right now, or are acknowledged
right
in a way they ought to be. But you know, that's who loses out, is that aspect, the core value of democracy, that is popular sovereignty. We the people are the government of this country, and so we are let down by the presidential candidates by both sides. You know who else got kind of, I feel kind of the bad end of the debate? Alley cats, Tim. Alley cats.
You have like, the morals of an alley cat.
What? Yeah. Let's play it one more time. Let's play it one more time.
The morals of an alley cat.
Come on. Come on, Joe. Like, poor alley cats. I mean, like, I would prefer that an alley cat be running at this point instead of, you know, he who shall remain nameless as little as often as I cannot have to say his name. You know, an alley cat would be, you know, a big improvement. You know, and so those are things that stand out to me, Tim. And you know, as we get into this, there it is. As true as the bell rings, Tim. You know what that means? Democracy in action. And I was just thinking, as we were having this conversation, and you know, and you were sharing your sadness, and you were talking about this, and we're chopping it up, and we're being critical. Our freedom and the important civic responsibility we have to be critical, right? To speak truth to this, to say, hey, you know who's not served here is the people of the United States.
Right.
That is democracy in action. The fact that we are free and in fact protected to have these conversations. This is really important. It's really important in connection to what some of your catastrophizing fears are, is the rise of tyranny. And in a fundamentalist state, which I truly believe is the interest of Trump's following. I don't think it's Donald Trump's.
Yeah, that's a whole other interesting. Yeah, you're right.
But I do believe there is like a real push for a fundamentalist state forming here, an authoritarian state that is not democracy. And I feel like if we're going to catastrophize at all, that's what's at stake here. When you hit a low point in your politics, it's a litmus test, and it's telling us that American politics have gotten really vulnerable to fascism and tyranny and to the rise of a fundamentalist state. And people from around the world who live the horrors of being in a fundamentalist state can tell you, right? This is what it's like. This is what it's like when at certain point, the no choice, but you have to make a choice, and it's, you know, it's catastrophe either way. That's a real indicator that we're vulnerable to the loss of that democracy in action, Tim, that we're even expressing our right and our protected freedom to have this, as well as it being a responsibility for LA Tom to text in, you know, his political views, for Sherry and Horicon to say she's riding with Biden. These are all really important things for Kirk at Minocqua Brewing Company, you know, to countersue the people who have attacked his business because of their progressive views. That freedom is at stake in these elections. And so that's something I couldn't help but not highlight.
That's an awesome. Yeah. That's what a democracy in action point there, Johnny, because you point this out and say, and I'll just bring it back to, and that is why it's so important when we talk about public education, not schooling, but public education, as you said, the preparation to be a citizen, to be a critical citizen, to engage in conversations like you and I do here every night with Jess and Anya, with LA Tom, with Joanne calling in, you know, LA Tom, always appreciate that, all of those, you know, that when we potentially lose a true commitment to formal, and even that word, I'm not sure I like using that word, but a commitment to public education, when you say, and you see that certain, I don't think Donald Trump himself is actually too an authoritarian himself. I don't, but his people want, and I see those people being in that realm of going, we need to shut down this critical thought. And so when you look at where we've been, particularly over these past 2 years with the attack, and in fact, the legally going after teaching the truth, critical race theory. People are like, no, we're not going after the truth, Tim. We're going after critical race theory. No, that's going after the truth. Sorry. Okay. You cannot, you know, and we're going to outlaw this stuff. There is truly, Johnny, what you say, a rise of a push towards a totalitarian, authoritarian state. And for me, the only pushback on that is a thriving public education system that realizes its core is preparation for democracy, understanding that. And maybe that's part of it too, is that I'm here going, and it doesn't do that right now. Public education falls really, really short at actually doing what I'm trying to say. However, it still is the only possibility that is charged with making that a potential reality. And so that's why I hold on to it with such fundamental kind of rigor. It's like, I can't let this one go, dude.
Yeah, man. I'm with you. And I'm gonna share. I'll do an overview, and I'm just gonna share like my big takeaways.
Yeah, there you go.
From the overall debate. And then I'm gonna land on one that is the most troublesome to me, Tim, is the scariest thing. And I very rarely hyperbolize, and I'm gonna on this one. The big takeaways. First, I can get over it. Joe was meh, not even mid for me in terms of things, but I can get over that. That's an issue in the Democrat Party. That's for us to figure out, like, okay, is this our best? And that's not an attack on Joe. Is this our best representation of where we're at or where we want to be as a community? And the answer is no, right? I don't want to see two old guys, and that's not me being ageist. I don't want to see two old white guys up there talking about the things they're talking about, because it doesn't need to culminate to a contest on our golf. And that's right. That couldn't be more stereotypical of two old white guys.
Right.
So that's another big takeaway, is like, this is what American politics is culminating to. The other big one is like, I kind of was really like cringing, but also experienced some sadness around insensitivity to the horror and tragedies of war. I mean, we have some serious suffering going on in the world and in our own communities. And it just kind of seemed like an opportunity to attack one another on it rather than to address, hey, like, there are some things we gotta talk about. The fact that, you know, one candidate's calling the other candidate a bad Palestinian. It's like, this is not coherent, nor is it respectful of diverse people around the world and their suffering. So that really grinded my gears. The other thing was, they both really floundered about abortion. And this is a huge issue that my entire life has had a political debate about it around me. And I'm thinking, man, I am 40 some years old, and my entire life, this has been an issue discussed by older white men. And that's not me jumping 2 feet into identity politics. It's like, hey, it's this simple. Candidate, just get up there and say, hey, this is not for me to decide. Democracy is about decisions being made by those directly impacted by the decisions. This is a woman or a person carrying a child's right and choice to their health. That is about democracy and about freedom. It is also recognizing the trust and the respect we put into medical professionals. So unless you're a medical professional close to this, or a person, you know, capable of or caring child, this is not a decision you get to weigh in on. Right. Mm. So I was really kind of off put by both their discussion of that important topic. And then that discussion about immigration. Ugh. I mean, this is huge. This is like, this is the United States of America. Right. Yeah. This is where we are supposed to be. You know, we talk about it sometimes as like a place for everybody and an opportunity, a land of opportunity. So to speak so, I think, insensitively and just really ignorant to the experience and to the important role people from all over the world play as members of our community was also a big takeaway. It's like, hey, neither of these guys really show, obviously, I'm going to say Joe, more empathy and concern and care for than Donald Trump, but neither really spoke to that in a way where I felt like, wow, this is going to strengthen our community. It's going to bring peace to us, economic prosperity, and it's going to contribute to the richness of the diversity of our country. The other thing is, and I'm gonna hang on this one, is that Trump lied over and over again, and I can't get over this acceptance of lies. And the biggest one to me is lie by avoidance. And this is what I'm gonna stick on, right? The fact that he could not give a coherent response, like a definitive response to respecting elections. This is big. This is also what I'm going to say. I'm going to use what sounds like some hyperbole, but I reserve it for these things. This is in every way an an admission of tyranny, right? Mm-hmm. Just ignore the importance, because I'm not happy with either candidate, but I'll tell you what, elections are important. And to say that I can't give a definitive answer on how I will handle the results of an election, and Trump utilized that debate to rewrite January 6th. So I'm going to ask listeners out there, if you're thinking about this, or maybe you're in conversations with people who are debating this and thinking about it, imagine anywhere we work or any of our homes, and imagine that a few years ago, people came in against consent. They ignored consent. They came right in. They put poop on your walls, right? They used excessive force and violence, blatant disregard for any law and order, and came in and you know, ran amok as a response to elections. And then we're just saying a couple years later, well, yeah, let's give them another try. Basically, we're just going to not, like, I do not know a single person who says it's okay that you came into our space. You used to work here, so you have a right to come in here, use force, ignore consent, and put poop on my walls. This is where American electoral politics are at. It's not a good look around the world. We can do better. We ought to be doing better. I want to come back to that, Tim. Think about what you have to say in terms of, like, January 6th and Trump's, like, blatant disregard for elections. When we come back, listeners, give us a text or a call, 855-752-4842. Busted Pencils when we get back.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, it's the last segment. You know that coming in there. Little seven dust. School's out. 855-752-4842. Truly a democracy in action total episode here tonight, Johnny. I mean, from the very beginning here, you know, truly putting on an incredible display of what it means to be a citizen, to be actively participating. And Johnny, man, you got some admirers out there. You beautiful orator, you could not have put it better. Somebody from out there putting that down. Johnny, preach it, Johnny, preach it, Johnny. Hey, yeah, man, dude, you were dropping some real passion there, and it came off, and yeah, you really laid it out. I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you too, Tim. And again, back to our democracy in action point today. I hold high regard and value for our freedom and the protected right to have this conversation. And I'm emphasizing that because that is one of the things that is at risk. Tim, a couple of years from now, we could be in a lot of trouble for having this conversation. Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, I very rarely hyperbolize this, but that's the kind of thing. Too much is at risk. We have to figure out how we can do better for one another, for ourselves, and for our communities. And that's the bedrock of democracy, where we learn to do that. Schools, in, man, that's why we're here having this conversation.
Yeah, we do this all the time. You know, people are like, you know, it makes me think to people going like, so you guys have like a daily talk show about like school? Like, no. No, we have a daily talk show about democracy that happens to be contextualized within what we call public education in this country, where all of these issues about what it means, you know, just say, to be an American, to be a citizen, to have the critical capacity to look at the way things are and to call them out and to say, that's not what's happening here. And to say, I'm sorry, TFG, that's a lie, because that was the other thing, Johnny, you put that out there. I mean, the continued lies by TFG is just, it's enough to make you go, this is truly saying where, and I'll come back to this from the education standpoint, what a horrible, horrible, horrible role model that we have right there in that. And I said, I've talked to this, you know, you say, you know, the Thanksgiving, you know, somewhere in Thanksgiving when you get around with the family, the TFG has really turned families, and I'll even admit to my family being one of those, that the split and the kind of disregard for any type of civility, in fact, kind of like a, now that I'm in charge, I'm going to deliver some pain to you because I haven't been in charge for such a long time. And our guy, all the time, he's up there. He takes no prisoners. And I like that. He's the kind of mean SOB that I really want to be. And now I can be. And he's just thinking, going, it's like, this is truly where you go, these are not role models. These are not role models that we need to be putting out there. And so you say, what has our democracy turned into, Johnny? You know, and the whole idea that we had a debate last night with two people, a debate for two people, for 300 million plus citizens, there are only two people who can represent the views, nonsense. And so the democracy has deteriorated from the standpoint of just the inclusion of other voices, powerful voices, voices that actually, I'm going to tell you, my 24-year-old son, my 21-year-old daughter did not hear a thing last night that had anything to do with them. They're alienated. They're not part of the conversation. There are candidates out there who could be speaking for them. There are, you know, the idea that we've reduced this to that guy and the other guy is it's a real threat. That to me is an even bigger threat to democracy. So when you have a two-party system that has absolutely said no, every other person who wants to be a part of this debate, and yes, Alan Collins from Student Loan Justice is running for president. People are like, oh, he doesn't have a chance. Of course he doesn't have a chance. He was never given a chance. He wouldn't even be, you know, and there are other people out there. So the whole closing this off. And so in one way, what we got last night, hey, I'm actually not surprised, because when you only have two old white guys who are talking about golf, actually trying to be the representatives of the voices of America, they ain't got it, man. Neither one of them have got it. One's an incredible compulsive liar. The other one, it's just too much anymore. Man, some good stuff coming up.
And it's intentional lies. It's not even who you're like, you know, this person's got some problems. They don't really know right from wrong or truth from, you know, they don't know reality from fiction. It's not a delusional thing. It's a manipulative thing. It's in every way to say, you have one option, it's this, and it's not the truth. Right. Yeah. And we've seen that work in history. We have history to tell us what happens, right? Mm. When we are told that this is the way it's going to be. Generally, that means that it's not what's best for the majority or most people or even close to that. It means like, hey, I'm about to do something that you're going to be against, but you're not going to have much opportunity to say anything or do anything about it. Right. I mean, it is authoritarianism. It is fascism. It is a rise of tyranny that ought to be intolerable to Republicans and Democrats and any other folks who are trying to find some agreement in a party that represents them. Because right now it's like, whew, this is like I said, a low point in American politics.
I don't know where I belong, to be honest. I mean, you know, I know where for sure I am absolutely not. And so in that sense, I've got, but who wants to talk about even me? And I'm 57 years old, okay? I'm not a young guy either. But man, I feel like they're not talking about anything that has to do with me. And maybe part of that, Johnny, is too, is the other part is, you know, we don't touch on it that much. The whole idea of oligarchy and the reality that both parties are really, really owned. And this is where LA Tom comes in all the time. The money that comes from corporations to own both of these candidates. Man, Johnny, the benefit, Friday.
The benefit at the suffering of the people of this country. And so I couldn't love you. Me yeah. Tomorrow, Tim. Friday, love, breaking it down.
Yeah, busting pencils on a Friday, man. Truly, democracy in action every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Check us out. Hey, everybody, going into the weekend, coming up on a holiday week. Got some great stuff coming up next week. Busted Pencils, check you out. Have a great weekend.